I want to go on ahead and continue on in our sermon series. And this is the last week of our Bold Expectations. And as we think about this idea, and if you've kind of joined with us for the first time, what we're talking about is praying and hoping and asking the Lord to do some mighty things. And if we're going to have prayerful and hopeful expectations that the God of this universe, our King, our Lord, the one who is living and active, who still sits upon his throne, is going to continue to do a work of ministry right here in Wichita through this body, even to the ends of the earth, we know that first and foremost starts with him. Amen. That's why we talked about, like, we need to abide in him. We need to grow in our knowledge of him. But we also recognize that there's a component for us, which is a part of going. We are to go. We're to go and make disciples. This is what Jesus called for us. And one part of that we talked about last week, which is the idea of going and doing the good works, the same kind of good works that Jesus did. But there's another component of that. And the other component to that is sharing and teaching and proclaiming Jesus. It's what he did. It's what we are called to do as his people. Amen? This is a fundamental aspect of what discipleship is. To make disciples, to disciple, to bring people in and to lead them to Jesus Christ that they might become followers. This is what it is to disciple our kids, to disciple those that we're mentoring, to disciple those that are around us, even to disciple those that don't know Jesus. And if you're like me, and I've grown up in the church, and I know that not everybody is, certainly, but when I've heard, especially when I was younger, this term, it's your job, it's part of your calling to make disciples, that felt overwhelming to me. And so today, we're going to talk about what does that look like for us as the people of God, and how do we go about that process as we prayerfully pray and ask the Lord to do some mighty things. And so, we turn to the Word of God. And so, Todd, if you go ahead and come on up, Todd Brumley is going to read for us. If you've got your Bibles, I hope you do, turn to Deuteronomy chapter 11. We're going to read verses 18 through 21 this morning. And church, if you would, please stand with me out of respect for God's Word.
Good morning, church. Again, I'll be reading Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 18 through 21. You shall therefore lay up these words of mine in your heart and in your soul, and you shall bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. You shall teach them to your children, talking of them when you are sitting in your house and when you are walking by the way, and when you lie down and when you rise. You shall write them on the doorposts of your house and on your gates, that your days and the days of your children may be multiplied in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers to give to them, as long as the heavens are above the earth. Church, hear the word of the Lord. You may be seated.
Thanks, Todd. Church, pray with me one more time. Father, we come to this moment in prayer not because it's just a transitional moment, but we come because we recognize that we need your Spirit to work in us. We need to be renewed as your people. We need to submit ourselves to your word. And so we come and we ask for your help. At the end of the day, the desire is for all of us to grow more into the likeness of Jesus. Father, even as we hear little kiddos in the room crying, it's partly because we want to be able to pass these things on to them, that they might hear, that they might grow, that they might know who you are. And so this morning, Father, we pray for your favor. We ask that you would do a work in us, that you would grow us, that you would equip us, that we might be more prepared to disciple and to make disciples, every one of us in this room. And so, Father, we pray all of these things to the glory of your name and by the name of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, similar to last week, I picked a text that you might be going, why in the world are we in Deuteronomy when it talks about going and making disciples? Like, shouldn't we be in Matthew 28 again, right? Like, I'm missing my chance to talk about Matthew 28. Don't worry, we will. This idea of going and making disciples of all nations. But here's why. Because the call to make disciples immediately brings to the question, at least it does for me, how do we do that? What does that look like? And I believe this text is a discipler's text. This text is a discipler's text. But before I get to why and why I think this is such an important component for us, we need to have a context for why I think this is such a vital piece for all of us as believers in Jesus Christ. And the context comes all the way in verse 1 of chapter 11. And let me go ahead and read this. You shall therefore love the Lord your God and keep his charge, his statutes, his rules, and his commandments always. This is the goal, amen? To love the Lord our God. We are to be a people who are growing in the love of God. Jesus said it, the Old Testament said it. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, your soul, your mind. This is what it means for us. All of the goal of discipleship is that we would grow in the love of Jesus Christ as we follow him, as we move behind him, as we seek to be obedient to the things that he has called us to do. This is the reality of it. This is the goal. It has always been the goal to essentially disciple the generations to come. To disciple the nations into the worship and love of the one true God. The end game for all that God is doing is his glory through the constant spread of his family and his kingdom from generation to generation, from people to people, constantly bringing more and more into the kingdom of God through the love of Jesus Christ, like Acts says, right? Adding to their number daily. Like, this is what it means to go. This is what it means to be and make disciples. And we wouldn't be in this room if it wasn't for generations of the church understanding this reality. And we want to see this continue to happen, amen? We want to see the kingdom of God continue to spread and be passed down to our kids and their kids and their kids. We are to love the Lord so much with every single facet of our lives, every part of our beings, that it spreads through us. Sounds like a virus, right? But this is a good one, not the bad one that we don't even want to talk about, right? This is for us to make disciples. This is the goal for us, to make disciples. Starts with our kids, it goes to our neighbors, our coworkers, the people that don't know Christ. Make disciples. And this text gives us direction on how we do that. And the first thing that it calls us to do is to do this, to lay up these words in our hearts. To lay up these words in our hearts. And you may say, oh, Darren, again, we're talking about the word of God. Like, you've told us we need to be a people of the word, and we've talked about how important that is. And yes, I'm only saying what's in here. If you think I'm being redundant, it is far more redundant about go to the word of God. Lay up these things in your hearts. Growing in the love of God starts here. It starts in his word. It starts by hearing his word, reading his word, singing his word, seeing his word, because it's what changes us. It's what reveals who he is about to us. It's his word. You know, it's fascinating in this text where it's talking about passing on from generation to generation what the people of Israel wanted and believed to be true about God. It didn't say to lay up songs in their heart, or to lead people to pure flicks. Some of you know what that is, some of you don't. It doesn't say to watch movies or do these different things. It says to lay up his words in our heart. And you don't have to be a scholar. You don't have to be a seminary professor or graduate to disciple and to share and to give testimony to what is in here, but you do need to be a disciple. And a disciple lays the words of God in his heart. That's what a disciple does. Because you recognize that this is where truth is. And not only do we lay these things on our hearts, we bind his words to our hands and to our foreheads like frontlets. Now, some of you are like, what in the world does that mean? So this is a Jewish thing that they do. They even still do it now for many. What's the point of this? The idea is that you have a constant physical representation and reminder that this word is supposed to affect our thoughts and our hands. It's supposed to change everything, our actions and our minds. This is the obey the things that I have commanded you to do part of the Great Commission. It works itself out in every part as it renews us, as we seek to obey it, as we seek to submit ourselves to it. For us to think about making disciples, it starts for us laying his words in our hearts and constantly putting them before us, letting it change and transforms our lives. That's where it starts. It starts with us. And then once we pursue that, not that we've ever gotten there, because none of us are ever going to be perfect in that regard, right? It's a pursuit. And so as we're pursuing that, what are we to do? Teach them to your children. Now, this isn't just to parents in the room. The principle applies to all of us. It applies to our children. It applies to those of you who have someone you're mentoring. It applies to those of you who have someone that you know that doesn't know Jesus Christ. This is what it means to be a disciple. Again, Matthew 28, this is Jesus' words. Teach them to obey everything I have commanded you to do. And I believe it's this command that becomes really scary for us, doesn't it? How can I teach this? I'm not perfect at it yet. I don't know everything yet. I don't have all the knowledge that I need to be able to teach these things. Like, we've probably all felt the weight of that. We've probably all felt maybe even the weight of that with our own kids. Certainly as we start working and talking to people who don't know Jesus, what if they ask me a question I don't know the answer to? What if they press me somewhere where I'm not confident? What if it reveals some doubts in my own life? Maybe I'm the only one who's ever felt that, but I think that's the reality when it comes to this weight of teach these things. And that's what we're called to do. I remember it was early on in my ministry. I was asked to teach a class called Perspectives. And if you've never heard of what Perspectives is, it's a missions class. It's actually a college level course. And I was like, in my youth, I was like, yeah, I'd love to teach it. This is great. And I got to the little syllabus of Perspectives, and I started to look through the list of teachers, and I was like, what in the world am I doing teaching this class? Because on the list of teachers, it was missionaries who had served in places like Africa and the Middle East that had served for 20, 30 years. There was somebody on the list who had spent time in jail in another country for their faith. I haven't. And I'm like, I don't want to teach it. So I started to try to do everything I could to get out of teaching. It's like, I don't have anything to give. But here's what I learned in that moment. And as I was listening to them, and as I was listening to their teaching, and as I was having the opportunity to look at the people that were across that room, is that every single one of them had gone through different things in their lives. That God was maturing each one differently. Each one had experienced unique circumstances. Each of them had fought unique battles. I had fought battles they hadn't. I had dealt with things within the church they hadn't, and vice versa. Like, this is the uniqueness and the beauty of Jesus Christ and the body of his, and his body, in that he grows us all different, doesn't he? He grows us at different times. He grows us in different ways. And we are called to sharpen one another, to minister to one another, to constantly be teaching. And we all have something to offer. And so often, as disciple makers, and I say that because everybody in this room is a disciple maker. I say this as disciple makers. We're not supposed to do it as if we're in a classroom. We're supposed to be disciple makers of life, life in Christ. And you don't have to know everything. And we know this to be true in our day-to-day lives, don't we? Like, no mother says, well, I can't teach my kids how to cook because I'm not the pioneer woman. Right? You all know who she is. No dad, well, some of you do anyway. No dad says, I can't teach my kid how to hang a door in my house because I'm not Chip Gaines. Right? We don't do that because there's always someone better. Like, nobody goes out into the backyard and says, well, son, I'd love to teach you how to throw a football, but I can't because I'm not the best quarterback in the NFL, Patrick Mahomes. Right? Like, we all know it. We know it to be true. And none of us would say, well, I'd sure love to teach my kids these things, but I'm just not them. We teach what we know. Amen. We share with our kids what we know. And as we learn, we teach more. It's the same thing with non-believers. You don't need to know it all. You won't know it all. You never will. And if you act like you do, you'll just put people off. The reality of it is teach what you know. And that's it. And if you come against things that you don't know, you get to go learn it. You get to go ask. Every single person in this room knows something about who God is, how he has worked in their lives, the promises that he has kept, the deliverance that you've experienced in your life, what convictions you've gained through his word, the changes that he has made to you and your family. Every single one of you knows what life has been like as he shifted you out of darkness into light, amen? At some level you do. We've all rejoiced, we've cried, we've all fought different sins, we've struggled in different ways, we've experienced hardship in different ways, and we're all unique, and God has called each of us to share those things, to teach those things. It seems less daunting when we just are called to share the things we know. Our job is to share with other brothers and sisters, to share with our kids, to share with non-believers what we know, to make disciples. Now this teaching of our children, it starts by talking. That's what this text says. It says talk. And that's the hard part, isn't it? Particularly in our homes, we're to talk. Talk about the things that God has done. This isn't just something that we can live out by our actions. You can't just love people and expect them to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can't just love people and expect them to be discipled. We talked about good works last week, and that's so important. Jesus healed the sick, but he also talked about the kingdom, amen? And so we need to talk, we need to share, and we need to disciple with our words and with our mouths. Now here's the thing, and I wanna make this really, really simple for us. We all love to talk about the things we love, don't we? Like we all love to talk about the things we love. And remember how I said that this is all foundational on this component of growing in our love of God, because if we struggle to talk about Jesus, and we talk about everything else in the world, maybe it's showing our love for him in comparison to everything else in the world. See, it doesn't take very long. We actually were at some friend's house last night, and just in talking and sitting around a fire, we talked about all kinds of things, and they learned all kinds of things about what I love, things I love, like traveling and the beach and photography, my family. These things come up naturally because they're the things that are important to me. And so as you sit around your families, you sit around your homes, you spend time with other peoples, what you love and what is important is what you're going to talk about. And the truth of the matter is, as hard as that might be for us to have to kind of reflect in our own lives, is oftentimes when it's the thing that you love, you're not worried about insulting somebody because it's sharing what you love. I have no problem telling people that I love Nikon cameras, even to those Canon people. They don't agree with me. They think I'm ridiculous, but I love Nikon cameras. And they can disagree all they want. I still love Nikon cameras. And that's a silly example, but isn't it true? Like, we're not worried about people disagreeing with us when it's something we love. I guarantee you in this political season, some of y'all are gonna talk to people that disagree with you and you don't really care, right? At the end of the day, we love what we love and we have to share those things. And it's hard. And so I just wanna even go very practically. When it comes to dads in the room and homes in our lives, our first place is to disciple, but this works itself out in all components of our lives, both with believers and are walking with, as well as non-believers. Be in the Word of God. Ponder the Word of God. Meditate in the Word of God. Struggle and fight the good fight of the faith. Seek to apply those things in your life. Seek to pray that God would strengthen you in those things. And then talk about it with your kids. Share it. Share your struggles. Share the things that you're walking through. Share what God is doing. Invite them to study scripture together with you. You don't have to be the perfect example. In fact, it's better that you let them see you fight that fight than be the perfect example, because they're going to see it whether you want them to or not. And so we share. Invite people. Study the scripture. Will you study with me? I'm not going to have all the answers. It starts as simple as that. To disciple, to go to the Word of God. This is what our kids need more than anything else, but you have to take the time to talk about it. And it's no different with your church family or non-believers in your life. You know, I love this text that it says that we're to do this in our homes, because I legitimately believe that it's intentional, because it's intimate to be in our homes. These types of conversations, they don't have to be strange. They should happen at the dinner tables, bedtime with our kids, coffee, fire pits, friends, fishing, hanging out with non-believers. It's inviting them into your life and stepping into theirs. So often, the reason why it's hard for us is because we want to stay distant. But we have to step in. On Jesus, was he not the best example of this? Most of Jesus' discipling didn't happen in the temple, in the synagogue. It happened in Peter's house, Zacchaeus' house. It happens in the homes of people, because we have to love them and care for them enough to be in their lives. And this is the other component of making disciples. Nobody you meet is a project for conversion. They are image bearers who need to find and see the love of Jesus Christ, which means you should care to be in their lives. Think about Andrew in the Bible. He's a disciple. But he was also a disciple maker. He made a disciple in his brother Peter. And how did he do it? He simply went up to Peter and said, "We found the Messiah. Come on." Andrew didn't know much of anything about who Jesus was at that point. He didn't have all the answers. He just said, come on. Let's go look at this. He just shared what he knew. He shared what God had led him to. Brothers and sisters, the enemy has so many people paralyzed with fear in the church because of their own insufficiencies. And what they believe is their own insufficiencies. But Jesus only asks us to lead people to him and bear witness about what we know. That's it. Not only are we to bear witness by speaking, not only are we to teach by talking, but we're also to teach by walking. Now, let me just give a couple of examples on how this works itself out. And again, if we're living lives with people, this plays out much easier. You don't always have to make a disciple by saying, here's a 5-point gospel presentation. Let me give you one example from our lives. Several years ago, we met a Muslim couple, and we invited them into our home to have dinner with us. And so when we had dinner with them, we sat down and we said, hey, listen, love you, glad you guys are here with us, but I just want to let you know, as a family, we believe that it's God who has provided all things for us, including meals. We believe that our dependency is upon the Lord. We believe that we need to trust in him and everything. And so just something we do as a family before we eat is we pray. And we prayed. Now here's the deal. We just discipled them, didn't we? See, this is the reality. We're all disciple makers. We're disciple makers in everything you do. And as you walk with people, you're constantly teaching them about who God is, your trust in the Father, who Jesus is to you and what he means in your life. And so it doesn't have to be complex and it doesn't have to be difficult. Now, we love the opportunities where we get to lay out the gospel. And that's all the gospel, but we can continually proclaim and share Jesus as we make disciples. It also works itself out in our families, right? Another opportunity or another time where Karen and I were trying to make disciples of our own kids was when we had them and actually took them to some neighbors of ours' house. They invited us to a party. This was going to be a party where there was going to be some drinking and some other things. And we actually took our kids there. And we did it on purpose. And here's why. It's an opportunity for me to disciple my kids. Here's what the world is going to tell you about drinking. Here's the promises it's going to make. And you're going to see it. And you're going to see what's going on there. And it provided me and my wife an opportunity to teach our kids as we walked in our lives together. And they learned and they grew and they saw the truth of the gospel. And so not only do we teach by talking, we teach by walking our lives and constantly sharing. Thirdly, this text reminds us that we do this when we lie down and when we get up. How many of you could say that your first thought in the morning and your last thought before bed is how we can be laying the words of God upon our hearts and teach and share them with those around us? How many of us see that as the primary role and goal of our lives? It's an all-encompassing thing for us as the believed people of God. It should be something we think about all the time. Every person, every situation, every moment might be an opportunity to make a disciple, to teach some, to share with some. And we should be proactively, constantly looking for those opportunities. So this is something that we should all be doing in our individual lives, but also corporately, encouraging one another to the good works that God has called us to. So one of the things I want to share with you is one way that we as a church are going to be looking to do this in the coming months, and honestly, in the coming years. I mentioned it last week. You know, we're doing the school drive for Urban Prep Academy. It's a school here in Wichita. They serve some of the most difficult learning cases within our city in regards to who they're educating and the kids that are in that school. And we are going to be partnering with Urban Prep Academy in something called Project Seed. This is gonna be something we're gonna be doing for the next literally year and a half, because God has called us as the people of God to go. Because God has called us to go where he would go, and I think he would go here. He has called us to love. He has called us to good works. He has called us to make disciples by sharing and by walking with people in their families, in their lives, and in their communities. And so here's how this is going to look, and some of what Project Seed is about. It's about us adopting the school as an avenue to engage within a community and serve. And so we're gonna be doing all kinds of different things, from trunk or treats to adopting a class through our GLE groups and ministering to the specific classes, praying for those kids, adopting teachers, loving them well as they teach those kids in that school, doing Christmas parties where we can share the gospel. They've given us the okay to do that. You can share the gospel, it doesn't matter, right? So we can do Christmas parties during the school day, reaching out into the community by loving them through the trunk or treats. We're gonna be able to do financial classes for the kids, mentorships where individuals can mentor individual kids and share Jesus Christ with them. This is a tremendous opportunity for us to partner and to seek to make disciples as a body. And we can all be involved, from the individual level to families, to GLE classes, to house churches, and then corporately, as we do drives for school supplies, which, by the way, are being delivered, I believe, tomorrow, for those teachers to be able to hand out to these kids over the next year, really. And you're gonna have more and more opportunity to learn, but it's not just that, is it? It's not just Project Seed. We wanna be building this in our lives and all aspects of who we are as the church. So I wanna actually walk you through some very specific things in regards to a calendar so that you can see that. And so you actually see a timeline up here that's gonna show some things. This is all available online. First thing that's gonna come is an informational meeting about Project Seed on September 17th. You can get information out in the on the lobby about Project Seed. I'm holding a blank piece of paper. It looks like this, and it has when and where and how that's gonna look. If you just wanna know about Project Seed and how you might be able to get involved with it, this is an informational meeting you need to take and put on your calendar. From 6 to 7 in our hospitality suite, we are asking that you register, because we don't know how many people will come, and we want to make sure that we can do the social distancing and all that kind of stuff. Secondly, on September 27th, we're going to have another forum. And this is going to be a forum from 6:30 to 8. It's going to be in this room. It's going to be live. We will live stream it. And this is going to be on how to practically be prepared to share our hope. This is what Jesus has called us to, right? Always be prepared to share the hope that is within you, amen? And so we're gonna help teach that. How do we do that? What does that look like? How do we engage in the lives of people? And so this will be 6:30 to 8 p.m. on September 27th. Again, we will live stream it for those of you who aren't comfortable coming into this space yet. We'll be launching house churches in October. There's more to be communicated about that. With Project Seed, in October 30th, we will be having a trunk or treat from 5 to 7 at Urban Prep Academy. And that's going to be an opportunity where GLEs, our Gospel Life Encounter classes, will be able to take like a car, and we'll just be there to love on these kids and families and the community. So it's a way for us to connect into the community. Then on November 5th, this is not related to Project Seed, but we do Tree of Angels, which is an outreach into young kids who don't have opportunities to receive gifts during Christmas. So great thing that we have done traditionally here at Central. We have our Orphan Sunday on November 8th, which is another neat opportunity for us. December 11th is when we'll be doing our Christmas parties at Urban Prep. We've already got that date. That will be during the school day. So we'll be able to go into their classes and throw Jesus a birthday party, which is awesome, in a public, well, public school type setting, right? So such a neat opportunity. We'll also have our December His Helping Hands Christmas distribution, and there's a lot more that's gonna go on the calendar, but this is just a skeleton. Our plan and desire, whether it's our homeless ministry, His Helping Hands, Project Seed, missions ministries, which by the way, right now, we just haven't been able to do as much of because everything is closed for international travel. But we want to plan these things out years in advance so that they're partnerships as we walk into these places, really building relationships and loving on people. We don't want to be the church that just goes off and just does kind of a one-off ministry and then walks away. We want to be there. We want to be the church as we take and share the good news of Jesus Christ. Amen? This is what the church is supposed to be doing. So excited about this. And we'll all be able to engage at some level. Now, I want to close with this. I want to ask you to take out your phone or a piece of paper, anything that you can take notes on. You open up whatever app that you do that you can take notes on, or write it down on, I'd say, on the back of your bulletin, but we're not handing those out. So maybe even in the front of your Bible, write this down. I'm asking you to ponder and pray and think about five names that you could be a part of making disciples. Five names. This is going to be different for everybody in this room. Maybe you feel the weight as a parent of making disciples of your kids. Maybe it's a spouse. Maybe it's a family member. Maybe it's somebody that you know doesn't know Jesus. And they're always there, and the Lord has placed them on your heart over and over and over again. Maybe it's somebody that you know what their face looks like. You see them all the time at Starbucks, but you don't know their name, but you know that the Lord wants you to reach out for the gospel with them. We want everybody to write five names down and keep it with you. We're actually calling this your oikos list, which simply means household, because in the New Testament, it's households that come to faith in Jesus Christ. And here's the intent behind this. There's nothing magical here. But if we don't keep these people in front of us, it'll be too easy to never proactively seek to make disciples. And brothers and sisters, by the way, I didn't say this before, but it's important to say this. There is nothing we can do to make this completely devoid of discomfort. This will always be uncomfortable, won't it? It will always be uncomfortable to proclaim Jesus. He's offensive to those who don't know him, but he is sweet and honey to those who are being saved. And so the reality of it is it's always going to be uncomfortable when you start to talk to people. It's always going to be that. We should be prepared, but it's going to be uncomfortable. And if we don't have names listed down of people we can pray for and ask others to pray for, it's going to be too easy for us to just, in our discomfort, never get to it. I know that personally. It's just too easy. And so I want you to write those names down, even right now, and begin to pray. And then hopefully you can share those names of people with your community, with your house churches, with your GLEs, and they can pray. And then we can begin to see disciples made here in Wichita and then beyond. Amen? That's what we want. And so that's how I want to close now. And here in a minute, we're going to do communion, and then we're going to sing a song. And I want to encourage you, even if you've written some names down today, that we're going to have our pastors and elders up here to pray with you for those people. And so if you feel so led to come up and let us pray with you, we want to pray with you for your sons and your daughters and your coworkers and your friends who don't know Jesus. And so they'll be available to pray with you as we sing. But right now, I want to turn to communion, a time where we get to come to the table and remember what Christ has done for us, to remember that, brothers and sisters, we get to celebrate this because somebody went. And the first one who left and went and came was Jesus. Jesus came to us. He went. And then after Jesus, the disciples, and literally generation after generation after the disciples, went and took the gospel and made more disciples. And so we're here because of that. And so this morning, as you open up your communion, as you take that little wafer, we are reminded of the body of Christ that is broken for us, that he came to us. He came to us and he died for us. He was willing to lay everything down for us. You want to talk about discomfort? Jesus went through far more discomfort than any of us ever will for the sake of the gospel. His body was broken for us. And so church, take of the body of Christ and be reminded of your salvation. And then we turn to the juice, which reminds us of the blood that was spilt for us. The blood that seals the promise, the blood of the covenant. To remind you that this is an unbroken covenant. It's an unbroken promise for all who have put their faith in Jesus Christ. And if you have not put your faith in Jesus Christ, that promise is not secure for you. But if you have, you can drink of this juice and be reminded that there is nothing that can separate you from the love of Jesus Christ. And so church, drink of the blood or the juice that reminds us of the blood that was spilt on our behalf. Father, we thank you for the privilege we have as your people to come and to celebrate. To celebrate the cornerstone of our faith, to celebrate your son who freed us from sin. And Father, ultimately to be reminded that we have been called to go. And not to go aimlessly, but to go to make disciples, to go about the good works that you've called us to, and all out of love for you. And so stir our hearts for your love, for love for you. And Father, I'm gonna pray this morning for a great harvest. I want to pray this morning that you would send out laborers for the harvest. I want to pray this morning for blessing upon our kids who we seek to disciple. I want to pray, Father, for those that will come in the months and the weeks and the years ahead that will come to faith in you by those that are in this room. Father, help us to be disciple makers. Help us to be a disciple making church. Thank you for your salvation. Thank you for forgiveness. We love you, Lord. And we pray all these things in your name. Amen.